From Spokane Public Radio, it's SPR News Today. I'm Doug Nadvornik. Today is Thursday, March 5th, 2026. On today's show, the Washington legislature is inching closer to the close of its 2026 session. There's 1 week left. We'll hear about the fates of two major pieces of legislation, one related to criminal justice, the other to taxation. Spokane County has an environmental problem on its hands and is looking to new technology to address it. The first Spokane school project to be financed by the bond issue approved by voters last November is underway. And in our spotlight interview, Spokane's Poet Laureate talks about a new opportunity for student poets. Those stories and more coming up on SPR News Today. In Washington, it may soon be illegal for law enforcement officers to wear face coverings. A ban on masks for local and federal officers has one more hurdle to clear in the state legislature before it goes to the governor's desk. Both chambers have approved it, and now the Senate must sign off on changes made by the House. Opponents like Representative Jeremy Dufaux say the ban risks the privacy of officers and is empty political posturing.
This bill makes a do-nothing political statement at the expense of the safety and privacy of our law enforcement officers. Do nothing, Madam Speaker, because the Supremacy Clause of the U.S. Constitution prohibits state governments from interfering in the enforcement of federal law.
Supporters say making officers show their faces is a way of holding them accountable. California passed a similar ban on masks, but a court blocked it earlier this year. It's not clear if Washington's bill would encounter similar challenges. Meanwhile, a proposed income tax for people who make more than $1 million a year has an uncertain future. The Washington State Standard reports Democrats are still not fully on board, and neither is Governor Bob Ferguson. Ferguson wants more money raised by the tax to be diverted to lower and middle income people. The Standard reports there aren't currently enough votes to approve the tax, but behind-the-scenes efforts to build support continue. The legislation would impose a 10% tax on all income above $1 million. Small business owners are mixed in their opinions. Some, including in the tech industry, worry the tax would be applied to their profits and cut back the amount of money they're able to reinvest. But Steven Severin, who owns and operates a number of music venues and restaurants in Seattle, says because of his business cash flow, he's likely not affected.
Most of the money we make goes to paying rent, our staff, and all the other costs. We will not be taking a hit from this tax.
The bill does include tax breaks for small businesses, but breaks for higher-grossing corporations have been removed. The legislation has been approved by the Senate and is expected to be debated on the House floor next week. Spokane County needs new technology to clean up the Colbert Superfund site. As SBR's Eliza Billingham, the current remediation strategy for the shuttered landfill is not working.
In the late 1970s, Keytronic Corporation and Fairchild Air Force Base were dumping their hazardous waste into the landfill near Colbert in North Spokane County. The hazards were chlorinated solvents, also known as volatile organic compounds, which are often found in degreasers or paint strippers. Spokane County Project Manager Austin Stewart told county commissioners that, at that time, the landfill didn't have a bottom liner to catch those contaminants, so they infiltrated into the aquifer. The county has been trying to figure out how to clean up the site for the past 3 decades.
The big remedial technology selected to clean up the site was a pump and treat system. So effectively what that does is it extracts contaminated water, it strips that VOC contamination from the water, and discharges the clean water to the Little Spokane River.
Stewart says that strategy isn't actually cleaning up the site. He says a better treatment would be injecting colonies of contaminant-eating bacteria into the most affected areas. But his team needs to know where those areas are. So they're asking for permission to apply for a grant that would help them collect that data and then move forward with the new remediation strategy, which could still take at least 3 more decades. I'm Eliza Billingham, reporting.
The process of replacing Spokane's oldest school, 117-year-old Adams Elementary, has begun. Spokane Public Schools Superintendent Adam Swinyard says demolition crews have removed some of the school's portable classrooms, the gym has been knocked down, and the work will continue as long as the weather cooperates. Swinyard hopes construction on the new school will start in a month or two. He says they've tweaked the original plans for the school's footprint.
For example, a constituent group asked for us to site a bike trail that intersects the side of the property just to make our city a little bit more friendly for our bike riders. And so that's just a good example of that. That wasn't part of the K-12 design, but at virtually no cost, very easy to site in a bike path on the edge of the perimeter of the building.
Swinyard says the new school will sit closer to the corner of 37th and Regal than its predecessor. That will give students more green space behind the school, which will act as a buffer from the busy traffic in the neighborhood. Adams is the first of the projects to be financed by money from the bond issue that voters approved last November. A new study published this month found that a small dose of ketamine can help relieve fentanyl withdrawal. Researchers believe using this strategy could help patients access addiction treatment without extreme discomfort. Mitch Borden from KNKX has more.
University of Washington's Lucinda Grandy was one of the authors of the article. She says people going through opioid withdrawal face a lot of uncomfortable symptoms.
They have intense bone pain, muscle pain, stomach upset that's like incredibly painful cramps. They get vomiting and they get diarrhea.
The study looked at 50 patients at an Alabama crisis center that used fentanyl who were starting to go through withdrawal. They were injected with a small dose of ketamine, which is a sedative, and then received a dose of buprenorphine, a medication for opioid use disorder that can bring on severe withdrawal symptoms. However, instead of feeling worse, Grandy says because of the ketamine, the majority of patients began to feel better. She hopes these findings will inspire more medical providers to use ketamine to address fentanyl withdrawal and make addiction treatment less intimidating for patients. I'm Mitch Borden, reporting.
Spokane has a poet laureate. Her name is Mary Noelle Smith. Her job is to promote poetry and literature. She will also serve as a mentor to the city's first ever youth poet laureate. Spokane Arts and other organizations are accepting applications from poets 14 to 17 years old to fill this brand new two-year position that will pay $1,000 a year. The winning applicant, like Smith, will promote the art form in the community.
And this program will be about the student kind of having their own take and their own vision for what needs to happen to uplift poetry and the poetry community in their eyes, where their perspective. Because I think each poet laureate would say, this is what it means to be poet laureate. This is what it means. As many people as you would say, you know, this is what it means to play basketball. You'd get 100 different opinions. And it'll be exciting to see like what these kids kind of come up with as like their goals and their hopes for what they would do with this position. Because it really is wonderful for the poet. It's very affirming as a poet to be like, I'm the poet laureate. But it's also a way of giving and creating that which you crave that doesn't maybe even exist yet. And so I'm excited to see what these kids come up with.
So, and among the applicants, what would you be looking for in terms of picking one out of that group that would apply?
I can't pick one. I know that because I know too many kids and I know too many students, and I'd be like, you are all the winners. So they won't let me do it, I promise. but I know that they'll be looking for, you know, bodies of work, like what kind of poetry are you currently writing? And then there's on the application process, it's like, kind of tell us about what you're already doing to sort of implement some of these ideas, goals, visions you have around community engagement for poetry.
So what do you hope a 14 to 17-year-old poet laureate would bring to Spokane?
Just their voice, their perspective. I don't want to say we don't, but I know that for me, it has taken me a while to learn to respect children, not just to like adore them or they're funny or, you know, be amused or whatever, but to really listen and to respect them as whole people. They are learning, they are growing, they are young, and they are so brilliant, and they are seeing a lot and experiencing a lot, and they have something to offer. So I just can't wait to hear from them.
And do they have to be in Spokane?
Yes.
So they can't go off to college, for example,
no.
or go to WSU. They got to stick in Spokane.
Yep.
Because they have obligations as a... As a
yeah, yes. There will be okay. there will be obligations or there will be, you know, things we want to come and bring them to. And they need to be local for that. And I think that will help really pour into the local poetry economy for... There's some all ages, but there isn't a ton of youth centered or youth focused events at this time. And so by creating this position and this program, I think that'll start to change. I think we'll see more and more things that are student led and student focused in Spokane. And hopefully that will generate, some excitement. We want those brilliant, bright, beautiful kids to stay in Spokane, to work here and live here and make art here. And we got to give them places and spaces to exist.
Mary Noelle Smith is Spokane's Poet Laureate. Spokane Arts is accepting applications for the inaugural Youth Poet Laureate program through the end of March. Poets 14 to 17 years old are eligible to apply. You'll need to submit a resume and 2 or 3 original poems. That's today's SPR Local News, a production of Spokane Public Radio. Reporting was contributed today by Sarah Mises-Tan, Eliza Billingham, Mitch Borden, and me, Doug Nadvornik. Thank you for joining us. We'll be taking Friday off. You can join me again on Monday. This is SPR.